As an athlete, you're constantly reminded to improve your technique, focus on that quality, improve your movement mechanics. That's all super important when it comes to improving your performance, getting stronger, adapting positively from training. And along those lines, it's also going to lower your injury risk because you're actually training and moving more properly so that you can do all the movements and activities in a safer and more efficient manner. Now, the big question that I want to talk about today is, how do you actually go about improving your movement mechanics? How do you control your movement better? How do you actually take the steps, if you're moving not as efficiently or not as ideal, to actually start to improve so that you can move better? That's what I'm going to talk about in this episode. Stay tuned for this one.
Welcome to the HNL Movement Podcast, where everything is geared to leveling up your performance in activities, sports, and life. Join me in my professional journey as I share my knowledge and experiences while also learning from professionals, colleagues, clients, and you with one goal in mind: how to optimize human performance. This is the right place to learn how a multidimensional approach will sustain the performance and lifestyle you desire.
Welcome back, everyone, to the HNL Movement Podcast. For all of my new listeners out there, you're in the right place to hear about all of these topics, strategies, conversations, all dealing with optimizing human performance. And for all of my returning listeners, thank you again for tuning in for another episode. And for everyone out there, if you haven't heard some of the previous episodes, go check them out on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. There's been a lot of great guest interviews, guests who've come on, shared their stories, insights, experiences, things that we can learn from and apply to our journey as well. And also, like today, there's a lot of solo topics, bite-sized pieces that I cover, some strategies, some tips, some message that really deals with some aspect of sports medicine, injury prevention, strength and conditioning, sports nutrition, or anything that really helps us to get that competitive edge and improve our overall performance. And also be sure to check out more free content on my social media channels, also my YouTube channel. There's a lot of video highlight clips of the guest interviews, so you can watch some of the video content that matches the audio that you've been listening to. And everything across the board, you can find it at HNL Movement. My YouTube channel too is at HNL Movement. And with all of that, let's jump into today's topic. And it's all about, how do we actually improve our movement mechanics? And mechanics, again, it's so important for a lot of things. So when we talk about movement mechanics, it's all of the motion, the forces that help us to move in a certain way. So we're talking about how we're mechanically moving our body. And that is super important because that's going to be related to what muscles we're doing, how we're training, how safe are we actually moving? Are we damaging or injuring certain tissues? Or are we actually strengthening and helping our tissues to tolerate more? So movement mechanics encompass all of this. And it's often related with the quality of how we're moving, the technique that we're doing to move weight, to jump, to run. All of this is going to help us to get that positive adaptation that we want when we're training. And it's no secret, I think everyone can connect these two dots, is that if you are doing a deadlift or a squat and you're not moving in a proper way, what you hear very commonly is you don't want to hurt your back or protect your back, right? And that shows us that if we move in a certain way, we're not going to be very efficient at using our body to move the weight or move in general. And we're most likely going to be putting excessive stress in other areas of our body or other muscles or other tissues that could lead to getting injured. So you don't want that. So we want to focus on, how do we actually improve the way that we're moving? How do we improve these movement mechanics? Now, there's a lot of things that we're doing throughout the day that could contribute to why we're moving poorly. And some of the big things that we all hear about, I've talked about on this podcast as well, is just mobility. If we have a lot of mobility restrictions, we can't use our muscles, we can't get into certain ranges of motion, and that is going to provide restrictions that prevent us from moving as efficiently or moving the body how it should be moving, and that can lead to some issues. So some of the things that contribute to that is just what we're doing on a daily basis. And a good example of this is just prolonged sitting. We know that that turns off certain muscles. We know that that can contribute to getting tighter in certain areas, our hip flexors, our hamstrings, our ankles, our T-spine, all of these areas, because we're not using them going through the range of motion and they're staying in a static position for a prolonged period of time, they tend to get restricted unless we do something to counteract that. So that's an example of a hard daily habits. You know, it could be other things too. If you're really doing a repetitious movement because of your job or your work, that could create some obstacles that prevents us from moving as efficiently and effectively as we could. Another example might be past injuries. A lot of times, and this is very common, I deal with this, I have dealt with this my whole career and still see this being as one of the big problems when people can't move as properly as they probably should be moving, is that they have a history of past injuries that may have not been thoroughly addressed, and that's leading into compensatory movement patterns and mechanics. So past injuries, you've heard me say this over and over on this podcast, even small things like a minor sprain, like an ankle sprain, that can affect ankle tightness, that can slowly affect how you're moving if you don't even realize or address some of the restrictions. Restrictions meaning mobility restrictions, restrictions meaning strength deficits. If you're not aware of some of those things, we are going to use that ankle or that leg differently. And if we don't thoroughly address that, then it can snowball into something bigger. And now it can be 5-10 years later when you're squatting, that leg is doing something differently because it's been slowly adapting in a negative way throughout all of those years, because there's some residual restrictions, strength deficits, things that we can improve on that will in turn improve our movement mechanics. Now, another cause of poor movement mechanics could just be our body awareness. By body awareness, what I mean is that your body is constantly sending sensory signals back up to your brain as to where it is in space, what it's doing, how much tension you have in your muscles, how you're moving. All this information is getting relayed and sorted at the central nervous system level. And then, of course, it's creating whatever movement or motor output you want. But this entire continuous neuromuscular loop, that is what we, in layman's terms, refer to as body awareness. So how well can you detect, control your body, feel what you're doing so that we use our body, again, with good quality, good technique, good movement mechanics. And that is something that we can actually train. There's a lot of things that we can do to improve our body awareness. And a lot of times it's through that training, through a lot of reps, with the right focus and techniques to move better. All of this can help improve our movement mechanics. And the last cause that I want to mention about poor movement mechanics is a lot of times, whatever we're doing, when we're training, playing sports, doing daily activities, we're always going to have some type of muscle imbalance. Your muscle imbalance can be very small imbalances, or it can be very large imbalances. And the big message here is that you're not trying to be perfect and being perfectly in balance, but you need to be aware of, and this is where working with someone that can help you do this, or just being aware and very in tune yourself, you want to be aware of what muscle imbalances you need to address so that it doesn't get bigger and bigger. A lot of times we go through life and we're creating these huge muscle imbalances and we're thinking that we're doing certain exercises or certain movements well, but really we're just fueling the muscle imbalances, meaning that you're not even strengthening the weaker side or the weaker muscles. You're just overcompensating with some of the stronger muscles, the ones that you really revert to, the ones that you want to utilize because you have this big discrepancy with how balanced your body is. And of course, this list could go on and on as to the root causes of poor movement mechanics, but these are some of the big ones. So just understanding that there's a mechanical piece, there's a neuro piece, there's a mobility piece, there's also our habits, how we're moving throughout our day and our activities, all of these things contribute to poor movement mechanics. So I want to give a short example here, like common movement dysfunctions. A lot of times what will happen is that our body likes to collapse against gravity, not only with body weight exercises, but even when we're loading with more resistance and more loads, everything wants to collapse. And I think that's the common movement deficit or dysfunction that you'll commonly see, is you can take this at every joint, but when you're doing a movement as a whole, it becomes more pronounced. So for example, let's just take a basic squat, right? If you're doing a basic squat And let's say you're not moving as well, maybe the resistance is too heavy, or even if it's a bodyweight squat and you're getting fatigued, what's going to happen is everything's going to start to collapse. Your arches, your ankles might start to collapse. You might get into more pronation. That's going to lead into more knee valgus or knock-kneed position where your knees are going inward. Your pelvis is probably going to anterior pelvic tilt a little bit too much because your thighs are going inward too. You're in hip adduction. From there, it's going to cascade up into your lumbar spine. You're going to be more lordotic. You're going to have this arch in your back. Everything's kind of collapsing. Because of that, your T-spine might not be in a good position. Your shoulders might be rounded, right? So all of this, our body likes to collapse against gravity. We need some adequate strength, some stability to hold our body in a good position, to fight against gravity. Now, I know that was a very broad picture and not everyone's going to have the same movement dysfunctions, but you can see how everything is going to kind of play off of whatever's going on. Now, even if you only had one of those areas that were dysfunctional, maybe one joint or one leg, that is going to have a cascading effect onto your entire body as well. Other areas are going to start to make up for that deficit or that dysfunctional movement. And because of that, that's how you can create these muscle imbalances. You start to compensate, use muscles to help out other areas. You may also recruit more muscles than needed to carry out that task. So stabilizing muscles start to help us with movement, and that's what gets us out of alignment. So there's a lot of things that can happen when we're moving not in the most ideal way. So I think you get the picture out there. This is kind of what we want to avoid. This is why we train. We want to train to move better, get our body stronger and more in condition to tolerate some of these improper movement patterns from setting in. And that's what I want to spend the rest of this episode on, is what are some of the steps to retrain our body? What are some of the steps to retrain our brain and correct these movement dysfunctions? So this is going to be a very general blueprint, but I think this applies to anything that you're doing because it's rooted in fundamentals of teaching the body how to move, motor learning principles, motor learning strategies. And again, this can go very, very in-depth, but I'm going to keep it very simple. And a lot of it is just training our body to sense how we're feeling, that body awareness, and to actually control and create the right motor output so that we can control movement. And this will help us to build strength in the right areas. This will help us to promote more balance within the body. This will help us to address some of the mobility restrictions too in an active form. And overall, you're going to create more body awareness and more control over how you're moving. So I think the first step that we need to do is basically just retrain our body to use certain muscles, to feel that, to get, again, that sensory feedback and be able to control and use our muscles in a certain position and make sure that we can actually feel that. So a lot of this is just breaking down the components. This can go into assessment as well. You need to assess and know where you need to address to break down the components, which that could be another episode, but basically break down the components. Work on individual pieces and then integrate it back into the whole. Also, whenever we're doing this, I've talked about this briefly in past episodes, is the idea of external versus internal cues. With external cues, your focus is on how your movement is affecting or influencing the environment around you. Internal cues are focusing on what you're doing internally inside of your body. So an example that I constantly give is like, if you're coaching a jump, an internal cue would be like, make sure you get to triple extension, hip, knee, and ankle extension, and make sure that you feel that you're getting that last bit of extension when you jump. An external cue is focusing on what you're doing to the external environment. So instead of using that triple extension, that internal cue, an external cue would be try to push the ground as far away from you as possible as you jump. Because now you're focusing on implying that force into the ground instead of focusing on that internal triple extension in your body. Now, without going too in depth, basically what I like to do is focus on internal cues when I'm retraining something very early on. That's the key component, very early on, because then you get some of that conscious focus on what you're trying to do. And it's kind of going in line with that four stages of learning. We always learn these motor tasks by consciously focusing on what we're doing. Yes, it requires a little bit more cognitive resources because we have our focus and our attention on it, but then that's going to help us to gain that feel, help us to gain that control of using and firing that muscle. Now, very important, I always want to progress to external cues because that's how we move in real life, in sport. We're always focusing on other things. We have more cognitive load on us, sensory load on us usually, and we're still able to do those movements, as you hear, more automatically, or it becomes more fluid. We don't have to think about it so much. So I always try to start with internal cues when it's really new, foreign, something that someone has to learn at that infancy stage. And then slowly I'm going to progress into external cues, making it more natural, starting to utilize less cognitive resources, kind of pushing that motor program into lower levels of our central nervous system, which is how we want to move on a regular basis in the real world and in sports. And as I'm going through this process, I think this is the key component. All of my athletes that have worked with me, I constantly talk about developing this feel. You should have a feel for muscle tension, joint position, body position. You should have a feel for what this feels like when I'm moving properly. And you need to be able to differentiate when I'm moving ideally and when I'm moving not so properly. Because again, that's that neuromuscular loop. That's what we're trying to train. We're trying to train you to have better movement awareness, better movement mechanics, just better control overall. And these three things that I mentioned, think about it whenever you were learning a movement task for the first time. Maybe it's throwing a ball. Maybe it was shooting a basketball. Maybe it's hitting a golf ball. Maybe it's swimming. Whatever it is, in the beginning, it takes a lot of cognitive focus, a lot of conscious control and effort to do that task. As you start to feel what that feels like, you can start to focus on other things and just start to imprint what better movement feels like. And as you get really good, you develop this natural feel where you don't even have to really think about it too much because you've done all of the previous work. You've done practice and reps with good movement mechanics. You were focusing on the right things in the beginning. And eventually, this is how the body remembers to move. And that is that neuromuscular pattern that's ingrained into your nervous system that is going to help you to control movements better. And this can be applied to anything in the weight room, anything with sports-specific skills, or even fine-tuned motor skills that we do on a daily basis. So this is the thought process that I go through when I'm trying to help someone retrain the way that they're moving or move more efficiently and move with better mechanics. It's going through these steps until it becomes automatic and natural. And what I want to say about all of this is that whenever we're talking about movement mechanics, even though we're talking about the motor output, we're really talking about the brain and the brain's ability to control what you're doing with movement. Really, our nervous system is the command center. It coordinates all of the sensory feedback, integration, and effectively creates a motor output. And this is what we want to do. We want to really train our central nervous system, the brain, the nervous system, its structures, because this is what's going to help us to move more efficiently. And move more efficiently when we're doing things that require our attentional focus to be focused on something else besides what we're doing with movement. And that is a key point of today's episode, is I've always tried to make a change or an adaptation in the nervous system whenever we're doing training. And I'll leave it off with this. In layman's terms, we constantly hear, oh, we're training muscle memory, right? And this is something that I've stressed for my entire career, is that really the muscle, it has no memory. Really all of that memory, we're creating a nervous system adaptation. A lot of this is in your central nervous system, peripheral nervous system. We're trying to train it to do something that replicates that motor output, or that, in layman's terms, muscle memory. But in reality, our muscles have no memory. All of that, again, we need to program it in our nervous system. So when you start to shift your focus on what you're trying to do or accomplish with exercises, where's your attention on? And this goes back into the external cues or internal cues. What are you focusing on? All of these types of things will have an effect as to how fast you can train that motor pattern. And that could be a whole nother series of episodes. I will talk about this more and more, but that's the bottom line. You want to do exercise, movements, sports-specific skills, any type of practice with a certain focus point. And by focus point, I mean internal, external cues. Are you focusing on more things in the external environment? What is the focus point? And does that fit with the adaptation that you want to create with movement mechanics? Because again, The emphasis here is that we need our brain to adapt and change and handle and control movement better and better. And that is what's going to help us to train better and better movement mechanics. And then when you start to do that over a long period of time, you're consistent with it, that is when you're going to see the results that you want to see from your training. So that is the last point that I want to leave off is movement mechanics, correcting movement patterns. That is a process, but you have to go through this process where you're doing things intentionally, you're trying to get that change in your central nervous system, and you need to do it consistently. You need to do it more often than not, or at least more often than what you've been doing, and then from there, keep building on that until it slowly shifts, where we're moving this way more often than we're moving in the past, our compensatory way or our way with poor mechanics. We start to shift that. So we're starting to shift into this better way of moving and training our brain and our muscles to actually control this. And this, again, it requires patience, I think, but it also requires consistency. The more that you can stop moving in that old way that maybe you're used to, that is not the most ideal, the more that you can stop doing that, the faster that this turnover and change will happen. Because our brain, again, it's very plastic. It can learn these new ways of moving, but we have to start to do it in a certain way so that it overrides all of the things that we know. And again, that's a lot easier said than done, but it is possible to retrain certain movements. And anybody that has gone through a sport, maybe changing their technique, they can attest to this, that it was a long process, but the more that they started doing it in the more efficient and better way, that started to become more imprinted in their brain and they could carry it out easier and easier as time went on. So that's what you really want to focus is how to actually train movement and then start to string that together and be consistent with it. Because over time, you will see the adaptation that you want. And again, this is what helps us to perform better, get more out of exercise and training. You're starting to train some of the muscles that actually need it. And most importantly, along with increasing your performance, you're also lowering your injury risk because you're not fueling some of the bad habits, the bad mechanics, and compensatory patterns. So that is all that I have for today. Hopefully this gives you some insight. And the last thing that I want to leave off with is that for anybody, if you want to just assess kind of some basic movement that you're doing, try to see, can you actually feel what feels like good movement patterns and what feels like you're moving poorly? And can you do this purely based off of feel with no mirror in front of you? Can you actually tell the difference? And one way that you can easily do this for yourself is just set up your phone and film yourself and try to do a few reps with the most perfect movement that you can execute. And then try to do some few reps where you're trying to do something that feels like it's not as good. And are you spot on? When you watch yourself back, was what you thought you were doing, is that what the video shows? And I think that's one way that you can build some movement awareness and also help your technique, because now you see yourself, you can focus on certain things, and that's the first step. Just building that awareness as to how can I improve whatever I'm doing with movement. So that was the last thing. I encourage everyone to try to do that and just focus on what you can do to improve and start to train like that, and you'll see a lot more improvements along the way. So other than that, everyone keep training hard, train smart, keep working towards all of the goals that you're striving for. And remember this, is things that should be ongoing. This is why we train. We train to get stronger, faster, healthier, but also healthier in the way to move more efficiently and improve our mechanics. Be sure to check out all of my social media channels, my YouTube channel for more content, and my website as well. Everything across the board is at H&L Movement, and my website is hnlmovement.com. Keep tuning into these podcast episodes. I release episodes every Tuesday, so I will be back here same time, same place next week. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Until then, aloha.